Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why do we consider it so offensive to acknowledge that a quarterback is going to perform at a lower level when everything around him goes wrong? Why is that so bad? That's how it is. That's how it is. And even for the greats, I know the Chiefs are still winning, but I can look at, like, Tyreek Hill left and Patrick Mahomes' numbers go down.
Yep.
They go down.
He's got a lower QBR than Brock Purdy. He's 11th in QBR, which I think is the gold standard of basic quarterback metrics.
But he has a defense.
That's 13-1.
He has people blocking field goals at the end of games. He's got those black and white striped people on the field who are helping him. I'm sorry.
Easy.
I couldn't resist.
Left my shirt in the car. Should have brought it.
You know what I'm saying?
Joe Burrow is third in QBR, and they're 6-8.
Right.
It's because he doesn't get help on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, because they lose the game 40-35.
Right. So all of this is so interrelated, and that's where, as we get into, you know, is it Sam or is it Brock? Well, there's a nice debate to that, but do you also have Christian and Trent and Debo and Brandon? Like, if you want to take this year's team and you put Sam in instead of Brock, what would Sam have done this year with Jordan and Isaac and Ricky and Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky and Mike? Thank you.
If I love the Brock, who cares who you like?
Would he be, what are they, 12-2? Sammy D?
Why don't I ask that a different way? What do you think the Vikings would be this year if Brock Purdy were their quarterback?
Probably about the same.
12-2.
Maybe 11-3. Sam's had a better year than Brock, but
he's had a better year than Brock, but he's had a better offensive line.
He's got better weapons.
Yeah, he has had a better year than Brock had last year.
Right.
And Sam has never done this before in his career.
Because he's never had this before in his career. So I'm with you on the context needed for this conversation through and through, because when you have what Sam has this year, which is a great coach, a good O-line, the best receiver in football, a really good running back, and a great scheme, you're going to have a good year and health.
And again, we're reacting to Brian Baldinger on the roast this morning. When asked what to do with Brock going forward, he said this.
I'd say I'd go football for Sam Darnold right now.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Minnesota, look, let's just think about Sam for a second. He sat there as a backup all year. He learned what a first-class franchise game planning, how to build a team. Like, he saw that for the first time in his life. Now he's with Kevin O'Connell, who's an elite play caller with a very, very good offense that has a real style to it, and he's flourishing. Minnesota doesn't have to commit anything to him right now. All they're doing, I talked to the general manager 2 weeks ago, Quezzy. Just to play it out. They've got a quarterback they drafted. They don't have to give him top-flight money, or they could trade him. Like, I would be having a conversation with Minnesota to see what it would take to get Sam Darnold back. He's a bigger, stronger, more athletic, I don't know, but he's bigger, stronger than what Brock is. Or can you play with both of them at a modicum of salary and afford both and I don't know, have a competition.
Yeah, I don't see any of those ideas as realistic. First of all, you can't trade for Sam Darnold. He's about to be a free agent. And you can't trade for him this year for a few reasons. Trade deadline has passed, and I'm pretty sure the Vikings would like to actually play in the playoffs with him. So, and then the idea of bringing him in next year and having some competition while one's making $30 million and the other one's going to be screaming for a long-term extension. Come on, man. This is not realistic. Like, this is not Madden. This is not the schoolyard. This is the National Football League. It's a billion-dollar industry, and as Steve Kerr, our guest later today, would tell you, people's jobs are on the line. We're not going to turn this in to a complete clown show. I'm not telling you that it's a crazy sort of thought. I'm telling you that it's not really doable. And so here's what I don't hear a lot of people acknowledge that I think the 49ers know in their heart of hearts. They have no choice. They have no choice in this right now. There is no other good option on the table for the 49ers. Now, that does not mean that you just need to cower at the feet of Brock and give him $60 million. You need to have an adult conversation and negotiation. And yes, you could go another way if you want, but there's no other way for the 49ers to compete at a high level next year.
Well, the only other way would be to sign Sam Darnold as a free agent or roll the dice with some of the other free agents who are all C-level at best. And I ran down the list yesterday. I don't even want to bring it up again because it made my stomach turn. Because it's a bunch of Jameis Winstons and Trey Lance is on that list, and they aren't really good proven quarterbacks, not as good or proven as Brock Purdy. So your choices are go in the draft, lots of luck, or sign Brock Purdy. And if you do sign Brock Purdy, the salary doesn't kick in until the next year, but he would get a nice signing bonus. So you can create a contract where Brock Purdy gets a lot of money and a bonus up front. You prorate it throughout the cap, through the life of the deal, and then the base salary kicks in the next year. Or you can say to Brock, play it on the $1 million, which he won't do, or you can go out and bring in Sam Darnold as a free agent and let them compete, which he won't do. So I'm with you, Mark. You really have no plausible choice on what you're going to do. You're going to sign Brock Purdy. You're going to pay him. It's a question of structure of the deal and how big the deal is.
This is an interesting, let's go to the phones, but this is an interesting text that just came through Comcast Business text line, 714. Thank you for listening and texting. Why don't they say it's the system with Darnold?
It is the system with Darnold.
It completely is.
It's the system with everyone except for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I would say.
Yeah, and I guess what people would respond and say, those guys are the system. But even them, you better have some solid offensive line play. Now, Lamar can run away from it, but he can't just beat the other 11 guys all the time, every play. He's also got time. He delivers the football way better than people give him credit for. Lamar's an incredibly smart player and a dynamic one at that. So is Josh Allen. I don't really like, here's the other thing. I know everybody wants those players. I'm not obsessed with the idea that my favorite football team has to have one of those guys. If they're available, sure. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and compare every quarterback in the NFL to Lamar, Josh, and Patrick. They're not those guys.
Right.
They're not.
And how
but
do
you can still win a Super Bowl with someone else.
Of course. It's not easy to do it, and not that many of them have done it. And you and I ran down the list a couple of weeks ago of quarterbacks who aren't elite who win the Super Bowl, and Nick Foles was one of them. I think that was the last one going back, but you know, based on how good your team is, you can do it. Brock was close to doing it last year, and a lot of it is, I think, the structure. And you look at Josh Allen, he has the second fewest sack percentage in the league. He's only sacked on 3% of dropbacks. And Jordan Love, Bo Nix is only sacked 4% of the time. Young quarterback, good O-line, gets rid of the ball. That's what you want. Brock Purdy is right about average on how often he gets sacked because the offensive line has not been good.
Let's talk to some people out there. Hey, Matt and San Rafael, thanks for calling. What's going on? Matt, you there?
Matty, I hear you.
All right, I'm going to put Matt back on hold. You can see Lucas, if you can grab him. Let's go to Raymond in Richmond. Hi, Raymond. Thanks for calling.
Willard and Dibbs, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's cooking?
I just want to say, like, you know, I respect Baldy's opinion, but please give me some of whatever he's smoking, man. Like, I would say if the Niners thought that Sam Darnold was better than Brock Purdy, Brock would be in Minnesota right now, and Sam would be quarterbacking for us. I just think his fault is the system around him, and nobody's saying he got, you know, they kept saying Brock has the Avengers around him. I think you could say the same thing about Sam Darnold right now. And I just think the fall from grace is going to be hard when he actually shows who he really is. And we're going to be just fine with Brock, and we're going to pay him and we're going to move on. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
Raymond, thank you very much. Appreciate that. I don't know if Minnesota is the Avengers. I don't know if the 49ers were actually the Avengers, right? Like we said that last year, Christian McCaffrey is at the top of the league. Trent Williams is. Brandon Ayuk did not start last year as an Avenger. He came out of the year as one. Was that because of Brandon or was it because of what was going on around him and the calls that were being called and the way Debo was able to play? Like, I don't know, man. Again, I just look at all of these guys through the same exact prism. And to me, it's not a criticism of them to say that, yes, you're better if everything around you is better and you're worse if everything around you is worse. Sam is in a wonderful situation right now, and then credit him for stepping into that role and crushing it.
Right.
And going 12-2. Sam has always been, I thought, a really good player. And if given the right circumstance, he can do this. And I think the same about Brock, and I don't need to prove it because it's already happened.
Exactly. And I think when you look at Brock Purdy, you look at last year and you look at this year. And for me, will the real Brock Purdy please stand up? Please stand up. He's probably somewhere in between because you're not going to have a lot of years like last year where you have virtually no injuries. I know a couple guys missed a couple games here and there, but you had Christian and George and Brandon and Debo and Trent and Kyle Juszczyk. And the majority of your O-line, you had them all on offense. You didn't really have injuries. This year, you had a ton of them. And Brock Purdy suffered from that. He's getting, his pocket is not as clean, and his weapons aren't as good, and the schedule is tougher. So these are not excuses, but it's reality. So is he as good as last year? No. Is he as bad as this year? No. He's somewhere in between. And I look at a quarterback like Jared Goff, for me, is a great example, and the year he has had, and he is top eight in just about everything because his offensive coordinator, his play designer, Ben Johnson, is really, really good. Their locker room is off the charts in terms of chemistry. They've been incredibly healthy up until Sunday when they lost David Montgomery. I know their tight end was out for a handful of games, but they've got elite receivers, elite running backs, great play caller, health, and all the rest of it. And so all those things together lead you to have a really good year.
Yeah, what's up, Grandy? What do you got?
Well, Diz, you brought up like all quarterbacks are the system, maybe other than Josh Allen and Lamar, and maybe you could throw Burrow or Mahomes in there. But it got me thinking, do you remember the way that the Ravens negotiated the contract with Lamar? They were so hesitant to pay him. They were open to trading him. They offered him the franchise tag, and then they eventually finally realized that they should probably sign him. But you're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL and the team that drafted and developed him and has gone deep into the playoffs, well, kind of deep in the playoffs with him a number of times. Even they were hesitant to give him major money.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what teams should do, right?
He won an MVP, right, at that point?
Yes, he had. And then he won another one after he signed it. Yeah. And I would also say, like, yes, you should always, and I think the Niners will be no different on this. I wonder that specific situation you're bringing up, if there weren't some circumstances in play, because it was right after the Deshaun Watson thing in Cleveland. And I do think that Lamar was kind of like, I think he was negotiating off of that. And the Ravens were like, look, we love you. We want you to be our quarterback. We're not doing that. Because that's the stupidest thing any NFL team has ever done.
Yeah, but the Niners and Brock Purdy will be negotiating off of Dak Prescott and off of Trevor Lawrence and off of Tua.
That's where the fans go, oh, it's 60 a year, and it's not. Like, Deshaun's guarantee was 235. Dak's is only like, what, half that. And so that's all that I think is going to happen here. The 49ers are going to do a deal with Brock Purdy, and it's going to have wiggle room. And if he's not good 2 years from now, they'll get out of it. They'll get out of it. And it'll happen exactly like what the Giants did with Daniel Jones.
Agreed.
If it's not good, they'll get out of it. But I think that they think he's not Daniel Jones.
Well, he's not.
And he's not.
He's better. And I do think the Lamar one is a little curious because A lot of his greatness, I think, was born out of athleticism, and there were questions internally about whether or not he could be a pocket passer. Can he win games from the pocket? And, well, he's gone on in the last 2 years and shown that, yes, he can.
Well, and can he stay healthy long term? That's always, when somebody runs a lot, that's always the question. It's like, do we sign you until you're 33 years old and you lose a step and you get hit more and all of those things? By the way, we should apologize to Matt in San Rafael, because his name is Chris in San Rafael.
Well, no wonder why he didn't answer.
Lucas, director of sports. Come on.
He's not the director of names.
No, Kyle Shanahan's supposed to take accountability whenever something doesn't go right. Am I right? Huh?
Oh, yeah. Hand up. That's
all
on me.
All right. Thank you. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling, and thank you for being called Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey, one, thanks for taking my call. Two, I apologize. I don't actually have a different take than anything I've heard in the last 45 minutes. It's just beating a dead horse.
No, that's okay.
Whatever he's smoking, it's got to be good, and that dude needs to share. Birdie has already proven in the last couple of years he's legit. You give him weapons who are healthy, not missing a game where he's missing not one, not two, but three of his starting receivers, not having CMC out there, who is the number one running back in the NFL. And if that ain't the case, he's at least one of them. Like, if you have no weapons and you have no offensive line except for one Hall of Fame tackle, you don't have an offense, and one quarterback can't make that up. You put Patrick Mahomes in this year, I don't think it's much better, frankly.
Oh,
Patrick Mahomes is only being carried by the Zebras and by his defense.
Patrick Mahomes, look at the numbers, is not playing better than Brock this year. Like, again, I know that'll bother people because of the standings. Chris, thank you very much. Let me add this to the conversation. Here's I think, another part of it, because I am seeing some engagement with the idea of, look, Baldy kind of said it in a funny way, but you guys understand what he actually means. They can move on from Purdy and sign Sam. You can do that. Yes, you can. And you know what? If you want them to do that, let's hear from you. I would love to hear you state your case and understand where you're coming from on that. 888-957-9570. But understand this, I think, about franchises. This is one of the things, for example, that I would argue the Los Angeles Lakers, just as an example, they go too far with this. But they are so concerned. The Warriors are too. They're so concerned with how star players around the league view them that they will make sure at all times that they are treating their players contractually and otherwise a certain way. And you do not make a mockery of people who have achieved for your organization. So the idea of next year, after what Brock Purdy has done in three seasons as a pro, a Super Bowl and two NFC title games, and he has everyone in that locker room behind him, the idea of the 49ers looking at him and going, that's adorable, we really appreciate it, we're now going to make you our backup for 1 year at $1.1 million, and then we're going to decline anything going forward, and we're going to sweep you out the door, and we're going to bring in last year's backup and guarantee him $30 million next year and a 3-year contract to be the starter in front of you simply because last year you were good rather than great. How do you think that players would view the 49ers? That is a joke of an idea.
Yeah.
It makes them look like absolute morons.
And it, as opposed to being an organization that takes care of its own, even though that sometimes can come across as a mistake. And maybe giving Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year, not fully guaranteed, but $30 million, that may be a mistake, but around the league, that's seen as taking care of your guy.
Totally.
And you look at all the restructures they've done, and I do think that Javon Hargrave is an interesting one where you restructured him, you give him money up front, and you're probably going to end up cutting him in the offseason, but you at least gave him some money before you did that, and you've seen that with a bunch of different players, and players will take those restructures because it's cash in hand and it helps the team, and that's the way you do business. So you take Brock Purdy, who's been really good as your quarterback, and you bring in a journeyman to replace him for 1 year.
His backup.
Exactly.
Last year's backup.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be a good message.
I mean, Sam is good. Sam should not sort of, I mean, even last year, the reason the Niners were so quick to sign him as their backup in free agency right away.
Day one, yeah.
Well, there was two reasons, I thought. Number one, they clearly, there was some discomfort with everything that was going on with the Trey Lance situation. Number one. And number two, I don't think they thought that Brock was for sure going to be ready to go by the beginning of the year. So they wanted somebody who they thought, you know, what if we need to play him for a month? Can he go 2-2 or 3-1 for us? And Sam can do that. He's proven that. So that's why they brought in Sam. They like Sam. I don't think you're crazy if you think Sam can win in this league when surrounded by a very good system, a good coach, good players. He's proving right now that he can do that. But Brock Purdy has proven the exact same thing. So to me, this is just me. If you want to replace Brock Purdy, you better be talking about, like, Josh Allen has to be available. Sam's not an upgrade on Brock.
Well, nobody is available who is an upgrade. And we don't need to play the list game and list all the quarterbacks who would be an upgrade. And, you know, Tom Brady's probably not walking through that door anymore, but that's somebody that they wanted before, and he's not available. And Aaron Rodgers is too old, and so all the quarterbacks who would be an upgrade, none of them are available. Lateral moves? Sure. And if you want to call Kirk Cousins a lateral move, well, he's not available either. The only one would be Sam Darnold. If he even springs free, the Vikings can franchise him, and then he's not available. So right. There is no other available quarterback.
Grandy, say that on the air. What'd you just say? Say that.
Go find the next Sam Darnold.
Okay, tell me what that looks like. What do you even mean by that?
Well, Sam Darnold is going to make a decent amount this offseason, yep. So that obviously is a point against him if you're trying to, I don't know, build a roster, or if you're trying to bring somebody in to compete with some other quarterback. But you signed Sam Darnold two off-seasons ago for what, like $4.5 million?
I think it was more, but it's the high-level backup
something
money.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And no one really thought much of it.
Right.
Go find the next Sam Darnold who's about ready to, when you get him in the right spot, is going to take off and flourish and become a brand new quarterback.
So they didn't already do that by drafting Brock Purdy as Mr. Irrelevant and going to two NFC title games and a Super Bowl. Like, is Brock Purdy in the last 3 years, he's not flourishing?
Oh, yeah, he has been, but now you're going to have to pay him upwards of $50 million.
So for you, it's money. You want to find this kind of production for a lot less dough.
That's the dream.
Yeah, that's the dream. Unfortunately, like I can sit here and like nod my head like that'd be great. I don't think that exists.
Well, we can play the backup quarterback game, and we can look at the list of backups who were in Sam Darnold's spot, and you've got Jimmy Garoppolo's one. He's a guy you could get.
Yes, you could get him.
Kenny Pickett and Carson Wentz.
I think what we're
Andy
asking,
Dalton.
What you're asking for is Baker or Sam. Or in theory, Brock, if he had not had so much playoff achievement and next year would only command 30, is there somebody laying in the weeds who you can have for a lot less, but you can still produce? Because here, I'll say something out loud that maybe will surprise you guys. You don't think I'll say this. Brock's replaceable.
Everyone's replaceable.
He's very replaceable. He is not the only one who can do this with Kyle Shanahan. But there aren't 20. There aren't 20 of them. There's probably 10.
And none of them are available.
And right.
So if you want to try to find the next Sam Darnold and bring him in, you're talking about somebody's backup, and you're looking at Joe Flacco or Drew Locke or Jacoby Brissett or Jameis Winston. You're looking at guys who have warts, and they don't have the accomplishments that Brock has. They're going to be more expensive. And then what? So even if you land a guy, right? Maybe it's Josh Dobbs. You realize that it's Dobbsy. So you give Dobbs the gig, or you bring them both back. You don't pay Brock, and you make him compete, and Dobbs wins the job. Okay, you go 7-10 next year. Then what?
Better take that backup quarterback commercial off the air. I'm only looking at that if you're bringing in Josh Dobbs to be your $25 million starter.